Namaste and good evening to all the participants of Easy Ayurveda Gurukula. Welcome to yet another episode, 45th episode of Easy Ayurveda Gurukula. So on behalf of all of us, Easy Ayurveda and family Easy Ayurveda, so we'll welcome Dr. Abdul Karim sir. So who is also a member of our Easy Ayurveda family. So today he'll be presenting us with a very, very interesting topic. So he's not new to us. So I'll go with a brief introduction of Dr. Abdul Karim for the new joiners. So Dr. Abdul Karim, sir, so has done his MD and PhD in Rashastra and Vaishaja Kalpana, currently serving as Vice Principal, Professor and Head of the Department of Rashastra and Vaishaja Kalpana, ITM Ayurvedic Medical College, Maharaj Ganj, Uttar Pradesh, Bharat. So today, Dr. Karim sir will be presenting to us. So as you can see, the first slide there open, Nutraceutics in Ayurveda, with special reference to Shuka Dhanya Varga, the cereals. So without wasting any time, so I would like to hand over the dais to Dr. Abdul Karim sir for his presentation. Namaste and welcome to Easy Ayurveda Gurukula, Abdul Karim sir, and over to you.
Namaste sir. Thank you for your introduction, sir. And to everyone, yes, good evening, sir. To everyone. Thank you, sir. Without wasting time, we will start the presentation, sir. Today's topic, as already has announced, that as nutraceutics in Ayurveda, especially with special reference to the Shuka Dhanya Varga, because we are taking here one of the smallest part in this classifications. Out of that, we will go through how in this Varga Dravyas are going to be act as a nutraceutics in Ayurveda. First one, introduction. Ahara sambhavam ustu roga ahara sambhavaha ita ita visheshascha visheshaha sukha dukkhayo charka sutrasthana 28th chapter 14th sloka. Here it is telling that the origin of life and a disease is entirely depends on this food itself. How beautifully Acharya Charaka has been telling these words here. And along with that, wholesome and unwholesome food articles are responsible for happiness and sorrow respectively. Hita, hitam, visheshasya is spelling specifically happiness and unhappiness. Unwholesome and wholesome things are also be followed. Along with that, food decides whether the human being can or cannot be sustained in disease of body and mind. That is sukha dukkha yoho. That's all. How beautifully the entire our life journey, it has been entirely depends on our what we have going to be consumed in our day-to-day life practices. Nutraceutics. The term I'm correlating here, Ayurveda as well as modern togetherly, one after another. The term nutraceuticals was coined by the Dr. Stephen D. Felsey in 1989 from two words, nutrition as well as pharmaceutical. This nutraceuticals has been defined as our food or any food products that provides healthy and medical benefits, including the prevention and treatment of disease. He's telling both the things here, prevention as well as the treatment for the diseases also. Nutraceuticals are the products derived from the food sources that are purported to provide the extra health benefits in addition to the basic nutritional value found in food, especially. In this context, already it is told in our Ayurveda, as what Ayurveda says regarding the nutraceuticals, swasthasya swastha rakshanam atharasya roga prashanam. Prevention, protection, as well as the curing the disease. This is Ayurveda says generally as a major objective of our science. Ahara and pratyakalpanas are said in Ayurvedic classics, act as the nutritive, also as medicines. The same words which has been in what Mr. Stephen has been quoted. We can be prepared compared to today's term nutraceuticals with ahara or ahara kalpanas. These ghost words with the Hippocrates, what he will say that regarding this one, food be the medicine and medicine be the food for us. Regarding this, in Ayurveda, again, to encounter these words to the Hippocrates, the Acharya Kashyapa will say, food, ahara is considered as the Mahabheshaga, supreme medicine is directly quote regarding this. While explaining this quote for an individual who doesn't follow the Patya, no amount of medicine can do good to him. Likewise, no number of medications is necessary of an individual who follows the Patya. How beautifully is telling that the importance of food. We are not at all going to be following any patta, for him medicine also we not can be a good for him. Likewise, if he is following the patta, there is no need of any number of medications to be survive. Thus, when ahara is considered properly according to the prakriti, desha, bala, kala, etc. on that, then it retain a sound physical as well as the mental health of the body. As we know that this definition of health, that is, so physically, mentally, we have to be get fit here. Now come to the part of patya, what it says here. What is meant by patya? Patya means pata anapetam. The word has been derivated. According to Acharya Charaka, the term patya is derived from pata, which means various channels in the body, which is going to be running in our body. And anapetam means not harm to human body. This body which contains the various number of shrotas, n number of shrotas are there. In that, the channels are there, which is not going to be harm. Patya means what? Through the channels, whatever we are going to consume, that should not harm our body. That things are considered as to be in a patya. So any food which is not harmful for the body channels, and on the contrary, which is soothing for body, can be called as patya in this context. So products may range from isolated nutrients, dietary supplements, and specific diets to genetically engineered foods, herbal products, and processed foods such as cereal, soups, and beverages. Here, if you come to the classification regarding the supplements in that context, we are having the three groups. One is dietary supplements, second one is functional foods, and third one is medical foods. What are the dietary supplements are there? The dietary ingredients in these products may include the vitamins, minerals, herbs, or other botanicals, amino acids, and substances such as enzymes, organ tissues, granulars, and metabolites are concerned with the dietary supplements. Herbs are botanical products such as the concentrates and the extracts like aloe vera, garlic, ginger, betel, turmeric, methi seeds, etc. Some extracts are concentrations such as tablets, in the form of tablets, capsules, soft gels, gel capsules, liquids, or powders, gel care, or should be concerned as the dietary supplements, especially. And if you come to the functional foods, are designed to allow the consumers to eat enriched foods close to their natural state rather than by taking the dietary supplements benefits like rice, dal, roti, what we are going to be having day to day in our lifestyles. Okay, those are concerned with the functional foods. And come to the medicinal foods, can be ingested through the mouth or through a tube feeding. Those are concerned with the medically, is going to be feeding. Medical foods are always designed to meet in a certain nutritional requirements, which are certain requirements means for to be specific illness, for that what we are going to be taking from extra sources for the nutrients, in the form of nutrients. Medical foods are regulated by the FDA and will be prescribed or monitored by the medical supervision of itself. Next come to again here, where the ahara's importance will say that ahara is considered as a jivana for all the animal kingdoms. The contribution of ahara is very much in the much in maintenance of health, especially. Among them, 10 features of maintenance of health under WHO, nutrition is one among them. Nutrition is directly related to ahara only. Here we are giving the comparison with the, what WHO is requires to maintenance and 10 features among maintenance of good health. Nutrition are most required, and Ayurveda says that ahara is the most important. We are comparing. And if you want to be said that one, in Ayurveda, we are having the three upasthambhas. One is ahara, nidra, and brahmacharya will follow. Out of that, ahara is the first one, and it is the most important pillar for our to sustain our life. The food is classified here, again Ayurveda says that, into two types. One is that one which preserves the health, manasika and sharirika shakti, in the context of both, and other which helps to cure the diseases in the diseased person. Two, one is for the healthy persons who is going to preserve his health, sharirika as well as the manasika shakti, and second one is which cures the diseases in the diseased person. The climate plays a vital role in maintaining the health in the healthy persons. The food is influential by the weather. An individual person has a different prakriti, and the same food cannot be compatible to all the persons. It varies from person to person based on the digestive capacity. Mainly, as I said, that this following should be done according to the time durations, climate, place, because according to Rutuchakra and Dinacharya, we have to be change our food, and according to the nature of the person, according to the digestive capacity of the person, we have to be varies from person to person. Now we come to the major classification of ahara in Ayurveda. According to Charaka says here, Acharya Charaka classified the raw food materials into the 12 groups based on their nutritional and therapeutic properties. Among them, these are the 12. Shukadhanya Varga, that is corns and vegetables are there. Shingidhanya pulses. Shaka Varga, vegetables. Mansa Varga, meats. Phala Varga, fruits. Harita Varga, salads. Ambu Varga, water classification. Gorasa, milk and milk products. Ikshuraksha Varga, that is the products of sugarcane juices. Madhya Varga, the beverages or the wines in that context. Kritanya Varga, for the formulations. And the last one is Ahara Yoga on the basis. These are the 12 classifications. And again, once again, if you go through the classification, modern classification, we'll get another 3 types. That is energy rich foods, bodybuilding foods, and productive foods. Energy foods is what the major nutrients like carbohydrates and fats. Our food sources are cereals, oil, nuts, sugar, and sugar products are the energy rich products are there. Bodybuilding foods are major nutrients like protein. Food sources are like are meat, fish, pottery, legumes and pulses, milk and milk products, nuts and oil seeds are the considered comes under the bodybuilding foods. And productive foods, major nutrients is vitamins and minerals are there. Food sources are green leafy vegetables, other leafy vegetables and the fruits, milk, egg, farm food, are planning for an adequate diet. Food have been conventionally grouped as cereals, millets, pulses, vegetables and fruits, milk products, eggs, meat, oil and fat, nuts, oil seeds and sugars. So these are comes under the productive foods. Now come to the major part of the discussion topic here, which is Shukadhanya Varga, cereals. Shuka means here a spike or an arabic style. And the dhanya means consisting of any grains, which is in the covering part of the shuka. These grains are having a very sharp spike needles will be there on the covering. So it is being considered as the shuka dhanya on the basis of the usability of the worker. In shuka dhanya varga, they consists of shali, shastika shali, vrihi, shamaka, yava, and godhuma. These are the 6 dravyas are considered the shuka dhanya varga. Now come to the properties of Shukadhanya Varga according to the classicals. Chali, rice, paddy here, it consists of any Madhurasa Pradhana Drupya, Lagu and Snigdha Guna, Shita Vidya, Katu Upyaka, Vata Kafahara Drupya. And come to the Shastika Shali, it is also the Madhurasa, Lagu, Snigdha as well as Murdu property, Guna Sulvida, Shita Vidya, Madhura Vipaka, and Tridosha Shamanahara. Vrihi, Madhurasa. But it's in Guna, it is Guru, Tita Vidya, Madhura Vipaka, Tridosha, Vardhaka Dravya. It is Shyamaka, Kashaya Madhura Dravyas. Guna is Ushna and Ruksha, Ushna Vidya, Katu Vipaka, and Kahagna is Shyamaka. Yava, Bhagi, Madhura and Kashaya, Guru, Sara, and Ruksha Guna Pradhana Dravya, Shita Vidya, Katu Vipaka, and Kahavardhaka. Goduma, that is wheat, Madhura, Rasa Pradhana Dravya, Gunas, Guru, Snigdha and Sara, Shita Vidya will be there, Vata Pitta, Shamana. Next is Shukadhanya Varga mentioned in Samhitas. Here different names, they are all going to be explained in this context. Just I am showing here, I am not going to read this one because so many names have been given. For Shali, the classification has been in Charaka, Shishruta Samhita and Ashtanga Hridaya. The different varieties of the rice paddy varieties which has been explained in our classics according to Charaka, Shishruta and Ashtanga. And Shastika Shali, Charakas, Shishrutas and Ashtanga Hridaya, like on the basis of the Kaura, Krishna, Varaka in the name of it has mentioned, Shalika. Different names have been given from according to the different authors. Vrihidhanya classifications have been given by Shishruta especially here. that is their names has been mentioned. For ever barley, it is not mentioned. And Goduma, it is mentioned as only two, that is Maduli and Nandamukhi classification has been given in our classes. Now come to the general health benefits of cereals, means sugar amylase in our body. First one, Shastika Shambidhan has mentioned in muscle at dystrophy. Generally, as we know that one, we are going to treatment of taking the treatment, that is the Shastik Shali Pindasveda, that is this is the Shastik Shali where we are using, and most of the cases we are using for the rejuvenation purpose also be for our body, and to relaxation also be, to improve the muscle tonicity also be, the Shastik Shali Pindasveda is used. So in the context of muscle dystrophy cases, it is the best drug where we are going to be using as a treatment purpose, as another food also using in the doing the treatment of stress and pain disorder. In joint pains also, the shastikshali is a good one. Brihi in heart diseases and inflammatory conditions. Yava, lowering the cholesterol, risk of the heart diseases, conditions like corona, visarpa, shwasaroga, in those conditions you can use the yava. Goduma in vatarakta along with the grita with goat's milk. In Astivagna, used locally with Vrita, in Professor Shula with honey, that some of the classification, some of the reference has been quoted here, how to be used. And Javar, that is reducing the obesity, in heart diseases also it uses. That's the Bajra, Piran Millets is there, in lowering the blood glucose level, in heart diseases, in lowering the cholesterol level, and decreases the triglycerides and secretive protein should be done with the help of these cereals. Now come to the, according to the season wise, which sugar dhanya we should be able to use, it has been given in our classes. In Grishma Ritu, Shali Dhanya has been explained. In Varsha Ritu, Purana Shali has been explained. Old rices should be used. In Grishma means new Dhali Shali Dhanya, and in Varsha Ritu especially Purana Shali has been given. In Sharad Ritu, Shali and Shastik Shali both can be used. And Hemant Ritu, Ravadhanya, the new rice, Navadhanya actually, that should be used. New rice has been to be used in the context of Hemant Ritu. Shali has been used. Come to the next, nutraceutics in Patyakalpana. We have seen that Ahara, how should be used. Now it has come to the major part is Patyakalpana. How we should, in our classics, so many references given regarding this one. While explaining this, Charaka quotes that for an individual who doesn't follow Patya, no, as I already it has been mentioned, told that one, doesn't follow the Patya, no amount of medicine can be good to him. Likewise, no number of medicine is necessary for an individual who follow the Patya. Thus, when Ahara is consumed properly according to the Prakriti, Desha, Bala, Kala, etc., then they retain a sound physical as well as a mental health of the body, as already has been told, it is revised. Patyakalpana and its importance. What is the importance of it? Reference to Patyakalpana, can we find the various places in Ayurveda? How, where first it has been Sastarita, it suggests the Patyakalpana must be followed in Dhinacharya, Rutu Chakra, especially daily routines and seasonal. What should be daily, what we have, morning, evening, what should have, everything, and according to Rutus, what are the things we should be consuming, that everything going to be explained in this Patyakalpana. On that basis only, it has been explained. For the patients or for the disease, it is very much important for them to have food, that is patya, which will help keep the dhatus in healthy state and will not initiate them more from the doshas. This patyakalpana is also be used in panchakarma to strengthen the weakened annavasrutas and purushavasrutas from the process of prayer. Because after doing the panchakarma procedures, we have to do the patya, that is sansarjana krama. In sansarjana krama, especially we are going to follow the patyakalpana in that context. Approach has been done here for the both modern science as well as Ayurveda for describing the food design to all. In Ayurveda, while suggesting the patients to take ahara, we consider his bala, desha, prakriti, kala and agni majorly. Also indicates the contraindication of specific preparation as per the conditions of the disease and it affects over the doshas too are told also, because which one is should be required according to that also we should be used on the basis of bala, desha, prakriti of the patients persons, and according to the some of the contraindications, preparations also be there where the diseases should not be affect the tridoshas. So we should be able to think, and on that basis we should be used. On the other hand, modern science, while explaining the dietics, the nature of food is analyzed by weighing the dominance of one of the following three broad types of basic components. Those are called as carbohydrates, fats, and proteins. As we all of you know that these are the major nutraceutics where we are going to be using carbohydrates, fats, and proteins. According to Ayurveda, while giving the diet, the properties of food and whether that individual is carrying a digestive capacity to digest it, that is whether the food is sustainable to him or not, is categorized specifically. This is obviously varies from human to human also. So modern science, while looking at food, they label it in a quantitative manner of any components suggested with any respective RDA recommended dietary allowances, which completes the daily fixed quota of any calories. Means, according to Ayurveda, it should be vary from person to person, and according to the on the basis of the digestive capacity, the food has going to be categorized. But here it is not there. It has going to be fixed that how much calories of any food. The diet has been fixed and should be given to any person has been mentioned. On contrary, an Ayurvedic physician never emphasizes on quantity of food, but advises to take food according to his appetite specifically. Generally, the food advised by an Ayurvedic physician is Shadrasatmaka. It includes all the tastes and which is Panchabhautika in nature. Importance of Agni Samskara, especially in this context, in Patakalpana also the cooking process that is being explained here. The properties of raw materials are changed when they are cooked or overheat. Definitely, because the nature will going to be changed by doing the samskara here. Samskara nama gunantara dhanam. The properties also be changed, enhancing the properties also be going to be happen when any of the samskaras has been going to be conducted here. The amount of heat given, amount of water added, amount of fat added, it changes the property of raw materials. Because of this process, the raw materials becomes acceptable to the body so that it can be absorbed in the circulation very easily. These samskaras processes are done according to the individual requirement with respect to Agni, Desha, Bala, Kala. Samskara being changed to the properties of raw materials, making them completely different from their original properties. There is Prakruta process, Pratuka, that is a process rice, or another poha, that is called Aluki, is heavy to digest, where Laja is puffed rice, is very light to digest because it's processed. Heavy to light, it has been changed here. That is the importance of samskaras. Different opinions in between modern science and Ayurveda with respect to the properties of food materials. While considering the diet, Ayurveda focus on both the dravya, the constitution of the food, and also the agni, strength of the digestive capacity. While the modern dietics considers more the nature of dravya, only the constitution of the food. Not at all, they are going to be checked that what is the digestive capacity of any person, whether it can easily be digested by him or not. For example, in modern science, all the pulses, more or less, are considered as good sources of protein. Whereas in Ayurveda, they are compared on their level of difficulty in digestion. Like mudga is easy to digest and masha is difficult to digest in Ayurveda. So this is the differentiation. Is going to be say giving an example here. The concept of ahara here, if an individual consumes the Shadrasatmaka ahara in right quantity, considering the season digestive capacity, then it provides the given the satisfaction, truthi, pushti, nourishment, dhruti, firmness, and purusha bravery, buddhi, bala, oja, swara, jivana, teja, pratibha, Prabha. These are all the properties we can able to get if he is going to be consuming a proper diet. Pratyakalpana are named as follows. Under the Pratyakalpana, we are having a classification, that is Manda, Peya, Vilepi, Avagu, Yusha, Kushara. These are all the formulations which can be prepared with the rice especially. Here we are only going to see the comparative values of rice formulations, that is manda, peya, yavagu and gulepi. We have prepared these preparations taking only two ingredients, that is rice and water. The consistency in the preparation varies as ratios of rice and water varies only. This is one thing. Going to see. And how to prepare the this patakalpana is given mentioning here on the method of preparation. That is manda. It is with the ratio of the rice and water. Rice is one part and 16% of the water going to be used. And the desired character is telling that till the rice grains are completely cooked. And in the final product, the only liquid portion is going to be consumed in the context of manda. That is the only water called as manda, not the rice particles. Let's come to the peya. Peya is the ratio is telling 1 is to 14. One part of the rice, 14 parts of the water. Here also till rice grains are completely cooked. And here rice grains and liquid portion are to be taken in equal quantity here. Both are should be taken. In vilepi, we are going to see that 1 is to 4 ratio, 1 part of the rice and 4 part of the water till rice grains are should be completely cooked. Maximum solid portion of the rice and a little portion of liquid has to be taken in the context of vilepi. In the context of yavagu, 1 is to 6 ratio, 1 part is rice and 6 part of water. Here also we completely cooked rice. Only solid gruel is going to be taken in this context. This is the method of preparation of manda, peya, vilepi and yavagu. Now come to the individual here, their properties. To prepare manda, as I already said, that 1 is to 16 ratio here, only the superintendent liquid portion of the water should be used. No rice particle can be going to be consumed here. And it is very lagu, shita in property, deepana, pachana, grahi, vatanulomaka, kafagna, jara and atsara and trishnana. In these conditions can be advised. Indicated conditions after panchakarma, especially after detoxification. In the Sansarjana Kala, we are going to be advising after Mana Virajana and breast end. After fasting, after exertion, also we can able to be consuming the manda kalpana. Next, come to the peya, as I know that 1 is to 14 ratio. According to properties, are going to say that here also it is also the lagu in guna, deepana, pachana, vatan lomaka, dhatu pustikara, and indicated especially in jara and atsara. And the condition is after panchakarma, after fasting, and after exertion can be used. This is also be very light in nature. Next, come to the vilepi. As I said, 1 is to 4 ratio. Here the part of the thickened part, the rice gruel along with the water should be used. Rice part should be more. Properties, here also the food is lagu, madhura, deepana, rochaka, grahi, and rusha in nature. It has properties given. Let's come to the yavagu. Here 1 is to 6 parts. Only here hard part is going to be used maximum time. Indicated in especially indication given in garbhinis before siraveda, mandagni patients, and trishna. In this context, yavagu can be admissible. And a major portion is coming here to be till that how these are going to be considered as having their nutritional value with the nutraceutics. And relative assessment of nutritional value of patakalpana of rice was done at the Food Quality Control Laboratory in Pune. This is taken from there. These preparations were made according to the authentic way told in Ayurveda text. 250 grams of each preparation were taken and they have been going to be analyzed here. Ash, moisture, protein, fats, carbohydrates and energy. The calories has been given here. Manda is, ash is showing here in the table. Moisture is more, as water content is more, protein also will be less, fats also will be less, calorie, and 1 gram will be there, less than 1 gram, out of 100 gram it is going to be, and calories 2.92 only. Peya is also will be similar, moisture is little bit lesser because the water proportion is reduced, and the carbohydrates little bit has been increased because along with the liquid we are using the solid particles also. So it is 6.61 that has been mentioned, and calorie also be 27.24 has given. Vilepi, again the water portion has been reduced, so moisture level is also be reduced here, 86.46 gram per 100 gram. And again the carbohydrate is being shown increasing in that one, that is 13.24 grams per 100 gram, and the calorie energy is also be increase 51.76. In the Avagu, we are also again water proportion still reducing 75, and the carbohydrates 24.54 grams, and the calorie increase to 99.12. This is going to be seen in the analytical test of the Mandapiya Vilipi in the Avagu. Pratyakalpana holds an important place in Ayurveda, which can be practically implied in day-to-day our lives. Following the important points, understanding the Pratyakalpana is all ingredients are minimum and easily available. They are easily prepared. They are very cost-effective. Actually. For every individual, Pratyakalpana can be different. Pratyakalpana to one person may not be Pratyakalpana to other. It changes from person to person. Considering the age, psychological changes, level of doshas, provocations, dhatu conditions, natural inheritance, etc. So while designing the diet plan, all these factors should be considered by physician. But in the modern science, we are not going to see that. Just we are going to be giving the supplements on the basis of the analytical reports, what if the deficiencies are there. For the Pratyakalpana, I am just concluding here. Pratyakalpana is used in healthy and diseased persons in both, as same as in nutraceutics also, it is going to say that. It makes our food healthy, soothing and tasty. It explained that the approach of Ayurveda towards the importance of digestive capacity and drava matter is equal. It satisfies all nutritional values having the six tastes in. It makes food presentable to body as well as mind. So, an individual who wishes to live a healthy lifestyle with an Ayurvedic principle should incorporate the Pratyakalpana in their life, especially. Next, come to the cereals. This is a little bit of modern part is there. Think cereals are the edible seeds or the grains of the grass family, especially. Cereals and the cereal products are an important source of energies. Cereals are originated from Ceres, which means a Roman goddess of harvest and agriculture. The word has been originated. Cereals. Cereal is in a combination of endosperm and the germ and bran. Cereals are abundant source of vitamins, minerals, carbohydrates, fats, oils, and proteins. Endosperm is obtained when the bran and the germ layer get detached, which is carbohydrate. During the processing, bran gram gets refined with the cereals, which make them less healthier. So we should be able to be, when we are using that polished, unpolished, we have to be checking in that context. Important cereals are there, rice, wheat, maize, barley, millets, oats, sorghum, and rye. Now I'm going to be able to with the types of various of cereals, which have been mentioned. According to, for rice, Java, Sureka, different names have been given here. In the context of modern world, where we are going to be comparing the barleys, 2-row barley, 6-row barley, millets, different varieties has been mentioned, wheats, different types of wheats has been given here, maize, there also be corn, popcorn, red corn, different corns and the oats. And their nutritional values also, you know, we are going to check that. In rice, carbohydrates, protein, fats, vitamin B1, B3, B5, B9, folic acid, iron, magnesium, and potassium is there. In the context of barley, carbohydrates, fat, protein, vitamin B1, B2, B3, B5, amino acids. Millets contains the protein, vitamin B6, niacin acid, folic acid, calcium, iron, potassium, zinc, and wheat as having majorly fat and protein and iron. Maize contains the carbohydrates, fats, protein, vitamin A, B1, and vitamin E is there, vitamin B3, B6, vitamin C, iron, magnesium, and potassium. Oats contains the carbohydrates, fat, proteins, B1, B2, B3, B9, vitamin K, E, calcium, iron, and potassium. These are the nutritional values of cereals from have been collected. In some of the cereals and the diseases has been mentioned here in this context. For maintaining of a blood glucose level, some whole grains are helpful, like the oatmeal, whole wheat flour, wheat bran, whole corn meal, barley, brown rice. Oats and barley are abundant in the soluble dietary fiber, that is B glucan, which helps to reduce the postprandial glucose and insulin responses and also in maintaining the glycemic control and regulating the blood lipids. Along with the fiber content, oats and barley having low glycemic index, which is helps to maintain the blood glucose level. So especially this oats and barleys are going to be utilized in the context of the diabetics. Cereals and coronary heart diseases. The outer layer of cereals contains the phenolic acids, which are antioxidants and plays a protective potential agent, especially in the coronary heart diseases. These phenolic acids in cereals brands after they gets absorbed in adequate amounts, which are beneficial for circulation system. Actually, the United States of Food and Drug Administration (FDA) suggested that B-glucagon of about 3 grams or more per day from barley or oats may reduce the risk of the coronary heart diseases. Cereals and cancers. Cereals are mainly phytoestrogens of the lignin family. These phytoestrogens may play as a protective effect against the hormone related cancers. Especially barley is abundant with the soluble as well as the insoluble fiber. Soluble fiber, that is glucagon, is helpful in type 2 diabetes also. That's the point is there. Insoluble fiber present in the barley may help in the maintain the regular bowel functions and in lowering the risk for certain cancers, such as especially in colon cancers. And then whole grain cereals mainly include the entire grain kernel, which is a rich source of healthy fiber for controlling the blood sugar levels and reducing the risk of heart diseases. Fiber is a very important factor in this context. The whole grain cereals contain some phytochemicals having some healthy benefits. These phytochemicals include lignins, lower the risk of heart diseases and slow the cancer. Phytic acid reduces the glycemic index of the food, which is helpful for diabetic patients and protects against the cell-developing colon cancers. Saponins, phytoesterols, original have been found to lower the blood cholesterol, and the phenolic compounds have the antioxidant effects. And review from especially ava barley. That is, ava has included under the Shukadani Varga in Charaka Samhita, while Shushruta in Mugdadi Varga it has been added here. Charaka has included the ava in Shramahara, Chardini Grahana, and Svedopada. Mahakachaya, in that it has been going to be included because Yava has not been mentioned in the context of Shukadana, but he has been added in the other context. And in Ayurveda, pharmacodynamics of Yava is, that is, the properties of Yava is Ruksha in Chita, Virya, Lagu in nature, Lagu Guna, Madhur Rasa, and Kasha Rasa Pradhanamata, aggravates the Vata and increases the amount of feces here. Also, it enhances the body strength and specifies the coffee disorders. It is the best known as Sthanagartaka Medohara when used with Amlaki Churna. Eva is a carbonate, carbohydrate rich food according to National Health and Nutritional Examination Survey. Barley contains the potassium, calcium, and magnesium, which are helpful to decrease the blood pressure naturally. Also, barley helps in lowering the cholesterol in blood as it is an excellent source of fiber and hence decreasing the risk of cardiac diseases. In diseases like Runa and Visarpa, Yava is used with Madhukachurna externally. Inhaled dhuma of Yavachurna with Grita is said to be the beneficial in Shasarova. This is another process of Ayurveda. And let's come to the Godhuma. Acharya Charaka has included Godhuma in Shukadanya Varga, while Shushruta is in Mugdadi Varga, explaining the qualities like Snigdha, Guru, Shitavirya and Madhura, and specifies the Vata and Pitta dosha. Goduma can be used with the Grata and Gopis in the used externally in Astibhagna. Goduma with Madhu is beneficial in Kafaja Shula also. Wheat flour contains the glutenin and glutenin as proteins, which are commonly known as gluten. The strength of the wheat flour is based on the quality of gluten used. And next come to the jawar, that is in great millet. Jawar has a quality like madura and kashaya rasa, lagu, shitavirya, and specifies vata and kapha dosha. Jawar has essential nutrients like iron, calcium, potassium, and phosphorus. It is sustains the good amount of thiamine and riboflavin. And the phytochemicals are also present in high amount in millet, that they have shown potential usefulness in the reducing the obesity. So that is also said to be a beneficial for heart. Next come to the bajra, that is pearl millet. Bajra has qualities like madura in rasa, ruksha guna, ushnavirya, and specifies the vata and kapha dosha. It is also it is known to be a relatively low glycemic index than wheat and rice. Magnesium in millet form helps in reducing the effect of heart attacks also. Bajra contains the niacin, which helps in lowering the cholesterol level, and its consumption causes the decrease in triglycerides and C-reactive protein. The pearl millet bran is low in mineral matter. The germ fraction in pearl millet is about 16% and also rich in oil, protein, ashes in that one. The fat contains fat content present in the pearl millet is higher than the other millets. Due to its larger germ size and its high oil contents, the pearl millet is predominantly starchy, as it contains 73 grams of carbohydrates per 100 gram of bajra. It is an important source of B complex vitamins, mainly present in the outer band layer of grain. Thank you. For your patience hearing.
Thank you, Dr. Karim sir, for detailing the Shukadanya Varga with lot of details, starting with the classification of definition of nutraceutics or nutraceuticals. So why it is called so? What is its relevance and importance in Ayurveda? What has Ayurveda to offer? What's the classification from the Ayurveda perspective? Shukadanya, etc. And the big classification, and what are the ingredients or what are the components of or the members of the Shukadanya Varga family, detailing about the rice, the Patya Kalpanas, and then coming to the barley, etc. And detailing us with their Ayurveda and modern perspectives, their ingredients, chemical composition, and from Ayurveda perspective, it's rasa guna, virya, vipaka, karma, all those things, and how they are clinically beneficial, and few formulations in which they are used externally and internally. Beautifully described, Karim sir. So such a important topic, a very very relevant topic to discuss. We know that the nutraceutics is a big like ocean. So among that, you have selected Shukadanya Varga for the presentation today. So, but yet it has so many members in that. But Karim sir, why rice is so much popular? So, like, is it due to evolution that the human being started loving the rice and the other parts? So when we see, Ayurveda has also given the concept of balanced food. You also mentioned that it means to tell that whatever are available, we should be taking. Is it due to evolution? Certain cereals or certain Shukadanyas declined growing, or is it due to different geographical distribution that particular people of particular zones started consuming that? Of course, wheat is also popular. So even in India, we see there is a big distribution of wheat consuming people and also the rice consuming people. Again, we have this big classification. Among that, the other members like maybe barley or wheat, etc., they are like less praised members. They are lost here and there. Barley, though, like many people haven't used that barley at all. So as a food component, I'm mentioning, millets and oats are getting very, very popular now. Probably people are replacing rice with millets and oats also, even the wheat consuming people. So considering all these things, in different eras or in different timelines of our evolution, were these shukadanyas always available, but the choice of the person differed, or it is due to the evolution and also the liking of particular cereals which came into the question in every generation or every era? So what is your thought on this? These famous foods, but yet the choices are different.
I think these are all very good edible, as like we will say the satna. In that context, if you see that, as we will see that kshira is satna for each and every one. Like that, and especially these rice, as you said that, because of only the Krutanavarga, that is another Pratyakalpana in that is going to be added, where only rice has been advised. Why? Because it is one of the very lightest food. As I given the comparison also, before it is in a guru in nature, when a samskara has been done, it should become a lighter. And it is very commonly can be used for each and every person. On that perspective, I think that rice is becoming more popular. And if you saw in our classical literature also, rice has been maximally used for all the used in those such context can be very easily, it should be consumed and digest and should not be harm to anything to be others, like Pratyakalpana has says that. So the rice will be the more popular. And according to the reasons, wherever the availabilities are there, on that basis also, and the rice is maximally available in each and every farmer.
If all these shukadanyas are available, and if a family particularly knows or has the knowledge about all these shukadanyas, is it wise to take all, or is it still good to take the geographically adaptable food? Like I live in a particular area or particular zone, so whatever food is popular there over the generations, which has become popular, like maybe I am a South Indian and rice is more used here. Should it be always as a rule like that? So because it is more suitable and my previous generations were used to rice. So that is why my system is used to rice. So that is why even my future generations also will be adaptable more to rice than any other components. Or is it healthy practice, Karim sir, to adapt even everything what you have mentioned, maybe the jowar, the barley, everything into the context, if they're available, so to give it a try to make it comprehensive, and also number two, for a variety, and also to see how it adapts, or will it be an experiment trying those things, chalo, whatever we know, those popular foods and also the adaptable foods we will take without doing much experiment? Is that the question, or should a human being try all these shukadanyas as and when available and see how exactly they work out or whether they're customized for them?
I repeatedly, so many times in my slices came according to the desha, kala, bala, yes, bala, bala, yes. The vadi, and the persons, we are going to be seen. Repeatedly I mentioned that, especially that quote. Why? Because acharas, they know that one. Everything is required. By just consuming the rice itself only, we can't sustain. Because other nutrition supplements should also be required. So only according to Rutucharva and Dinacharva, whatever the things we require to our body, we have to follow. We should maintain the patya by consuming all the dravyas, not only one, which is available, which is good, our ancestors. And yes, we will consume little bit. I am also being a South Indian, I am also be consume little bit rice more. But along with that, we have to be have all the other things which through that we should able to get the nutrition. So we should use all the things. Yeah. Because classification he mentioned by the nutraceutical, if possible, if in the next presentation, I'll try to do that. Whatever the all formulations which has been explained by Charaka, which is going to be mentioned in our Charaka Samhita, entire around, I think, 64 formulations, different formulations are being mentioned specifically by Charaka. If possible, I'll present in the next. whenever it is possible. As I
thank you, sir. Thank you there, sir. Ahara satmya, so like the compatibility of the foods. Deha satmya, what suits the body, and desha satmya, mainly the geography, and the other factors also that you mentioned, kala, all those things, even the vaya can be taken, the age into consideration. So many things can be taken into consideration. So that's a valid point made there. So giving due respect and also following the etiquettes and also the rules and regulations of the place where we are born and brought up. If we are not migrating very frequently from one place to the other, so that becomes an adaptable thing. So that is why many people leaving their place and going to different place are not adapting to different foods. If the rice suddenly changes into a wheat predominant food, so probably physically, mentally, emotionally, those foods will not be suitable until the person adjusts to the phenomenon of those foods and also starts getting adjusted slowly. So well said, sir. So we'll see a few questions we can take from the question box. Like Kalavatiji asks, as cereals are phytoestrogens, is it good for man? I think here the male might be the question from Kalavatiji.
I think the proper
you are on mute,
proper time duration when we, that is proper quantity, whatever it may be, there it may be phytoestrogen also be, if you consume in a proper quantity what our body requires, definitely that is enough, not more than that one to be consumed anywhere, especially as my opinion, that is regarding that.
Since it is phytoestrogens, so here Karim sir, since it was phytoestrogens, probably the question is targeting toward male and female here. Can the male take the food? Male take is it good, like
definitely sir, why not? Yeah, it's good, but in a proper,
because it is not the only ingredient.
I want to be
saying. It is not the only ingredient.
Not only the part
it's
of
one of the ingredients.
Yes, one of the chemical constituents.
Okay. So Vasantha Reddy madam has raised the hand. So before coming to Vasantha Reddy madam, we can take one more question from Kalavatiji here. As we know, the properties of rice, pulses, dahi, and dal, and other cereals, we can know how it will work on our body. Living in other countries where people use more potatoes, bread, it is sometimes difficult to make a detailed food scheme. What must be the approach? As people in the Western countries are not used to rice, should we give them also rice gruel, etc. after Panchakarma? So here we will focus the question after Panchakarma, like in Samsarjana. So since those people are not used to rice and they're more used to potatoes, breads, and those type of food, after doing Panchakarma, should we still be advising them to take rice? Would it be Satmya if we go with Patya Kalpana after Panchakarma?
Yeah, definitely, sir. They have to be, because if you give any heavy foods, our already digestion fire will be the very lower in that context. We have to give very light food, as so only manda paya will be, that order also be given in Patya context especially. As said that after Panchakarma, whatever our acharya said, I'll follow her for that. Wherever it may be there, it should be consumed, sir. In that context, I'll be there, fixed to that.
Okay.
So, if not at all possible, what is the possibility is there, according to that, the digestion capacity of any person can able to be adjust with the persons in that different context or different areas, places.
Okay, thank you there, Karim sir. Vasantha Reddy madam, so you can talk to Karim sir.
Thank you very much for your talk, sir. I have a couple of questions. The first one is, a lot of people, especially in South India, who are, you know, rice eaters, stop taking rice and start eating chapatis, especially for weight loss. Is there truth in it or is it a myth?
It's a truth, madam. People are now a little bit, nowadays, are conscious regarding their health, and they, especially the obesity persons, are now taking the reducing the rice, and they are going moving towards the others, like millets and all, especially. It's not a myth, including me also. Sometimes I will reduce the rice and I'm consuming the wheat little bit more.
So it does help in weight loss. That's good to know.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So the second question is, you know, you talked a lot about Patya and its medical relevance in Ayurveda. So It's rarely followed by people as, you know, medical treatment or as a way of life. And I'm wondering what is the reason for that? A lot of people refuse, saying that I don't want to take Ayurvedic treatment because they do a lot of patya. This is one reason. In your experience as a vaidya, what are the reasons for not following patya? Is it lack of knowledge, madam, difficulty in giving up taste, or is it lack of information available about patya and benefits to common man, or because it's not appetizing, or and people are not taking responsibility of their health? What do you think can be done?
This is a lack of knowledge by the people, first thing, madam. And one more thing is that patya is being mentioned in our classic. Like this, we have to be prepared and should be followed. In the context of treatments, definitely we have to follow some of the restricted diets we will keep, because of our body is already very softened. So in that context, we have to be maintain the person's digestive fire and all. Should not be, because if you are not follow the patya in that context, it should be reverse the conditions, chances also be, and army aggravate still more. It will be there also, madam. If the person, if you know how to maintain his life, it means following the dinacharya, rutucharya. Patya is nothing but the same thing, madam. Whatever we are following in our day-to-day life, in according to the seasons or according to the everyday, what we are going to be following. But this also becomes under the patya kalpana itself. It's very good thing. And one more thing, there is a bad conception is that in Ayurveda is they are giving very restricting the foods. Not like that. It's never be mentioned anywhere. Yeah, we are restricting the food in a proper mannerly. We have to be adopt them. We can able to give all the things. If the person is a non-veg person, is there, in our patya kalpana it is told the mamsarasa should be given. There is no restriction for him, but which way of mamsarasa we have to prepare, that we have to be prepared and have to give to him. There is a misconception is there, Ayurveda people will be completely restricted. Nowhere, Charaka never told that to restrict anything. He given everything. It's depend of an yukti, of an vaidya, how he will going to satisfy the patients. Because here importance is satisfaction of a patient also be there. Important. If he is mentally satisfied with our treatment, with our foods, then only he will recover very fastly. And so many treatments, so many medications, so many method of administration of medications has been given according to the wish of any patient, it has been explained. If while doing Vamana also be, if for Virechana also be, and Snehapana also be, when you're administering for ovulation and all, Snehapana we will do. At that time, given the choice for any patients, we will prepare according to the wish also. Patients, especially, he told that clearly. We can prepare and give. The patient is not able to eat that one, change the form. In which form the patient wants to eat that one. Very easy to be consumed. In which food he likes more. On that way he had to be prepared and due. That it is there, so many places it has been mentioned. We can able to be used according to our adaptability to make the patient should be happy also. That's it is very much. It is a misconception.
I see the misconception here, but what I've noticed is that patients are not given the education necessary. For example, I went to a doctor and said, don't eat potatoes, don't eat jackfruit or bananas. That I understand that that's the way it should go. But I think the reason for that and what happens if you do eat and the benefits of not eating have to be explained more. And I think that way the information can be, you know, given to the patient, and yes, they internalize that better and follow the regimen.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Vasant Reddy madam and Abdul Karim sir, for those clarifications. Yes, as Abdul Karim sir said, Ayurveda people were considered as notorious physicians because they unnecessarily put us under punishment. So, as Vasant Reddy madam rightly asked, so the patya or the dietetic regimen, the protocol, what we give, the blueprint, what we call, in spite of explaining its benefits, that point was really valid, Vasant Reddy madam. So the benefits of not using or using certain things as a part of the diet in any disease or a healthy protocol should be explained to the person. why this should not be, why I have given a particular list of things not to be used, and why particular list of things have to be are given which need to be used, have to be specified and detailed. So generally what happens, these things are either missed from both ends, like the physician's end or the patient's end. So because they're also not taking that seriously, because anyhow there are medicines, there are therapies, we can get rid of our problems. What is the need of following the diet? So here, coming to the point, patya. So patya word has a word patha, so the term patha in that, so which means srotas. Srotas is every cell in the body. When we go to through the minute description of srotas, it is every cell. So anything which is suitable, adaptable, compatible, comprehensive to each and every cell is called as patya. So that is it. So Ayurveda doctors are also known for advising patya. That is why people used to run away from Ayurveda doctors, because these people give the don'ts list is more than the do's list. So that is why the people used to fear for Ayurvedic doctors, because their most wanted foods, their most liked foods, loved foods, adaptable foods, junk foods, or whatever they're used to, they're all subtracted from the dietetic protocol. And it looks like stringent. It looks like the Ayurveda doctor is pretty much throwing the person into the darkness or behind the bars and restricting them within the bracket. You have to use this, you have to use this, and you should not be using quite a lot of things. So that was one of the fear, the lack of knowledge. So many things are involved in this particular process. A very valid question, I should tell. So in this particular context to discuss, and also beautifully explained by our Karim sir. So, but
sir, Patya is... comment. Yes. The yes, meaning of patya, this is the first time I'm hearing from an Ayurvedic doctor what patya means, and it makes a lot of sense. And I was wondering if this is something that all patients are explained, you know, what patya is and what the reason is. I think that way there'll be more compliance to the treatment regimen. It's
absolutely,
just
madam. Yeah, absolutely, madam. So many people know, even in Kannada, the word, or the Telugu, in South India, when we come, patya, that word is known to everybody, but they don't know what patya means. They think it is a punishment, like a punished protocol of food, rather than a food which is good for us, which we need to practice on a long-term basis. So many people go to these health centers, like I don't want to mention, like big resorts and health centers, spend a few days, rectify themselves, do the rebooting and all those things. The repair work is done. After coming out, they are trained to take a particular protocol of diet. But after coming out, that sincerity, that punctuality, that obedience, and also the submission towards the good food, and also the subtraction of the bad foods, everything is gone. So the person is waiting to come outside the facility, and once again they come back to the same things. This doesn't help. Servicing and maintenance, I keep repeating these words. Servicing is important. Maintenance is equally important. If it is not maintained, it will go back to servicing, be it a vehicle or a human body, whatever it is there. If it is not maintained, it will go back to servicing. So the patya is one thing. Karim sir in the introduction rightly said, if you are taking patya, so if your daily food itself, whatever we are taking, if it is compatible to each and every cell, that person will not get diseased. That person will never require medicine at all. Now there are people either who are taking medicines like food. So we have reached to that particular point where a lot of medicines are gulped just like food. Medicine itself becomes the diet here. So this is a wrong practice, and patya is something which is important for patha. Patha is a synonym for srotas, and srotas includes each and every minute cell in the body. Anything which is beneficial for the srotas is patya. Anything which is not suitable for the patha or srotas is apatya. So I think this statement we should be carrying from this particular discussion. And thank you, madam. So we will go back to a couple of questions more. So before finishing off, Kalpana ji has a question, Karim sir. Each of these grains have such a good quality. There is a trend going on as eating multigrain breads and rotis. What is the Ayurveda perspective on that? Multigrains. You can keep your answer short, seeing that we have run out of time.
Multigrains, it's a combination. According to that one, we can be used anytime. No, sir. There is no issue to be consumed because of multigrains is majorly nowadays used for obesity purpose only. They are going to be planned for in a diet in that one. Yes, we can able to be consumed. There is no issue in that one, sir. I think so.
Yes, probably Ayurveda also has not directly explained the multigrain concept, but the use of multiple grains has been indicated. So that way we will see it. So it's good, as we discussed in the earlier part of our discussion, it is good to make a little bit of practice of taking almost all the grains until and unless they are not suited to us, so that we can reject them out of our format. So coming to Ramdani ji's question, I believe it has a, yeah, Ramdani ji, please.
Yeah, this concept of multigrain is being considered in the US at this point in time, where people are talking about the effects on the digestive system, that those people who have difficulties in digestion might be experiencing problems with multigrain, especially things like bread and other diet that they will follow. So the multigrain needs to be considered with respect to digestion, I would say.
With respect to digestion, you said, Ramdani sir, with respect to digestion, is it?
Yes, that's right, yeah.
Yes, sir, over to you, Karim sir.
Yes, sir, definitely it harms to the digestion, because what is going to happen at that time, everything it is going to be consumed, it is not at all good for the digestion especially. So if you want to be practice the multigrain, it should be start by slowly, not by suddenly, because nowadays the people are wishing that now I will start everything and within 2 days it should be reduced my weight. Not in that way it is going to be possible, because our body stomach is adjusted within a certain pattern of foods itself only. Wherever it may be in any other countries or in India also, if I also be consume the multigrain, it won't be digest immediately to me also, because I have to be practice that first. Slowly, not at a time you have started to eat all the grains. Never be it will get digest, because their properties are different. Digestion level is different, some are heavy, some are lower, and their properties is different. So in that context, we have to be practiced first, never be go directly. So definitely it hampers the digestion system, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, Karim sir. Unknown cocktail, we can call this as an unknown cocktail or an alien cocktail, so the multigrain system. So as Karim sir rightly said, even Ayurveda advocates, when you are practicing even the good things, there is a krama. Slowly we should start taking by portions, and whatever we are living also, we should start living by portions. Even if it is a smoking de-addiction or alcoholic de-addiction, this rule applies to everything. Or if we want to give up any food or take up any new food, krama abhyasa, krama vetireka. So gradual practice and gradual detachment is what the body accepts and the mind accepts and our emotions accept. If we give off suddenly or practice something suddenly, so that is definitely going to hit on our entire system, and that is not acceptable. Ayurveda has long back said, so gradually practice something if you want to inculcate or practice, and gradually stop taking certain things. Gradual is a word, is a key word which we need to concentrate, not at a time. Thank you, sir. There, Jai Raghuji's question. So I think Mr. Otte question here. So before that. Ramdani sir's question has been completed. Like, if rice is the lightest, then how will wheat help to lose weight? Sorry, don't understand is Jai Raghuji's question. So I think this is a question arising from conversation between Karim sir and Vasanta Reddy madam's question. The wheat. If rice is lightest, how does the wheat help in losing the weight?
Actually, in rice, there is no protein. And in wheat, a part of a protein is there available in that, as a consider as a gluten is going to be explained. The two chemical compositions in the glutens are there. Because of that, there will be a very light way of reduction in the weight it is going to see. Immediately, it will never be reduced also. Even, you know, I am also be consuming wheat daily, but I am not immediately going to be. But along with that, other proteins are required to be reduced. We have to be reduce the carbohydrates a little bit, and on that basis, the other proteins, different proteins, not only one way of, wherein a similar protein should be used. With that one only, I will reduce my weight. It is not possible. And along with that, little bit of yoga, exercise, physical exertion, that is also required. Yeah, on that basis, we can able to be reduced and we can able to make our diet should be in a proper pattern.
Thank you there, sir. So that is one way of looking at it. Thank you there for the clarification, sir. And one more thing is, if as we were discussing gradual practice and gradual detachment, attachment and detachment should be gradual. Even a person who is accustomed to rice, if the person is taking wheat, it's not that give up rice and take wheat. You continue taking rice because it is your staple food, your accustomed food, and gradually introduce wheat into the system. Otherwise, wheat may hit very hard on your system and health. So a gradual introduction, so maybe making peace with wheat and rice somewhere in the transition in the body and also for the mind. So until the body gets accustomed and adaptable to that particular food. So later portions can be taken and preferences can be given to either food depending on which is helping the best. So last question of the day, Karim sir. Nina Shaji's question. Because of gluten sensitivity, more people are opting not to eat foods like wheat and barley. It seems we are evolving into low wheat consuming culture. Is that okay?
It depends on who you have, the persons who are having the sensitivity related to the gluten. Now I am presently in the Uttar Pradesh, especially in UP in India. There, since my their practice, because I am belongs to South Indian, I am eagerly eat to rice. There, three times I will eat wheat, three times potato. And the food culture, and since morning to breakfast till night, they are using the wheat, potato. But if I started to consume that, and my entire digestive system has been completely hampered regarding that. So I have to be adjusted with them, so consuming little by little. It's a sensitive matter. If it is suitable to me, I can be. If it is not there, means they can able to opt for other protein sources rather than the gluten.
Okay, thank you there, sir. That was a good question, Nina Shaji. So multigrain is sankirna, Nina Shaji tells. That's an opinion there. And coming to this wheat, barley, low wheat consuming culture. Yes, the culture of food has been changed from time to time because of either the attachment or detachment again, Karim sir. So the culture is because of either the fear or love towards the food.
Popularity also,
and also the era in which we live, how the food is popularized, as you said, how it is marketed, how it is sold. There is a business angle also. So because we have seen millets, so there are people who are not even doctors advocating eat only millets. So the people have detached everything and started eating millets 24 hours into 365 days. So, and also have suffered from the problem. I don't have any problem with millets, but ati sarvatra varjayet. So taking anything, any single thing continuously for a long time and every time. So here you are imbalancing your system by introducing some food which may not be suitable to your system. Suitability and unsuitability also should be seen. Satmya and asatmya also should be seen. Those words have been frequently used in Karim sir's slides as well. So with this note, on behalf of all our participants, I think we have taken all the questions from the question box. I would like to extend my heartfelt thanks and gratitude to Abdul Karim sir. So he is amidst a busy schedule, traveling schedule, and also he is in a CME. So we were thinking whether it is possible for him to present or not. So he made his schedules adjustable, so like satmya and compatible to us. So the timings he matched, and he came over because the date was scheduled. And so he said, we are not going to miss the session. So because he also wanted to be amidst all our wonderful participants and members of Easy Ayurveda discussing this important vital topic. So thanks to Karim sir, so for coming over and presenting this wonderful topic, a very important and relevant topic today, and discussing with us every bit of detail of the Shuka Dhanya Varga. So probably this series will continue. There is plenty we can speak about food. Food is such a topic which never ends. So the discussion never ends about the foods. Thanks to Karim sir on behalf of all of us. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir, giving me an opportunity. And thank you to Dr. Janardhan Abhar also, sir, for giving me again and again repeatedly have you opportunities for that. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you to everyone.
Thank you, sir. It is always pleasant. It is always pleasant and to hear your talks and also to learn a lot from what you present and the topics you choose. On behalf of all of us, again, a big thanks. And cannot end this particular session without thanking our wonderful participants. I've been using this word, wonderful participants and members of Easy Ayurveda family, for time and again being here in Gurukula and Gurubodha sessions and also supporting us in all the discussions, even in the group, outside group, everywhere, and making these get-togethers more meaningful. So like these sessions more meaningful and learning platforms so that we can learn from each other and we can carry some message home about health, Ayurveda and a lot more things. So until we meet next time, a big thanks to all our participants and Kareem sir once again on behalf of Easy Ayurveda, Ebbar sir and myself. Until we meet in the next session, in the next episode, big thanks, loads of love and namaste to each and everyone. Namaste.